This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, it is 30 minutes where you can have your Celtic say. It is easy, it is simple. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. And Celtic, at the minute, they are absolutely relentless. Since the winter break, nine games, see, it's so good, I can't keep up. It's simply astonishing. 55 goals, 18 of the last 19 games won. They are on a tear like nobody else. And the man who joins me now to tell me all about it is the wonderful John McGinley from the Grand Old Podcast. John, always a pleasure to get you on. I'm sort of, forgive me, John, sounding like a bit of a broken record here, because week by week I say, well, Celtic get better and better, strength by strength, and it's easy, this football lark, isn't it?
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be much drama in it at the moment, does there? Certainly seem to be, you know, masters of our own destiny at the moment, and really playing like it with confidence and vigour, and, you know, that's what we want to see as fans. We just want to see the team give their best, and you know, even when we're not playing at our best, somehow pick up a result, as was the case on Sunday. So a magical time, for sure.
Yeah, a magical time. I mean, John, the team are absolutely flying, you know, and firing on all cylinders since they returned from that winter break. Nine games in a row. I mean, the goals that they're putting past teams. We'll start on the... it was in the week, actually. 5-0 against Hearts. That was on Wednesday, the day after we spoke. And this is a Hearts team and, you know, and an Aberdeen team that have given Rangers a little bit of trouble. I mean, without sounding rude here, John, 5-0 against Hearts, that was doing Hearts a favour.
Yeah, it was. But I think, you know, Hearts are a different proposition at Celtic Park than we would get them at Tynecastle. I think that their manager, Daniel Stendahl, I think I kind of mentioned this last week, he was going to try and come to Celtic Park.
He set it up
openly.
All wrong, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He didn't really have a clue, to be quite frank, which is a shame for Hearts. But it was perfect for Celtic, who just managed to exploit that and really get at them, really, from the off, and scored five wonderful goals on, you know, on a night that Rangers lose again, playing at the same time as them. Two late goals going in there. There was jubilation around the stadium. It felt like one of those pivotal nights in the title race. There's been a few of them, you know, of late, pivotal days, but, you know, last week was a proper classic title race night, and, you know, Celtic came out on top and went into the weekend with so much confidence, but there was still a bit of trepidation because you're travelling to Pittodrie in stormy conditions and you're wondering whether we can get through that one. And when it's men pass the flying colours again, even though we played poorly, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, after that Hearts game, we know what happened with Rangers and Kilmarnock. We know where the race stands at the minute. A little bit of light developing between the two teams. But on the game itself, and opposing fans and opposing managers now, John, only describing the team as relentless. I mean, this is frightening what we're seeing. They aren't winning each game, you know, a couple of close games, 2-1s, 3-2s, and nicking late winners. They are tearing teams to shreds.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, a lot of the comments from managers as well is them noting the strength they've got on our team and on the bench. I mean, the last week against Hearts, I think we brought on Ryan Christie, Mohamed El-Younoussi and Tom Rogic, who could play, have easily played from the start in those matches. So it's a ridiculous strength that we've got right now. I mean, Ryan Christie was superb when he came on. And I think, you know, to be an opposition manager and seeing your team struggle against Celtic and then you look at the bench and you see who's not playing, I think it kind of sums up, you know, just what Celtic are at the moment. I mean, even Derek McInnes, who is famously not, you know, particularly praiseful of Celtic, you know, couldn't help but admire the way we managed to dig out the win, was full of praise of Christopher Ayer for the way he galloped up the wing, you know, from right back, a makeshift right back, galloping up the wing and finishing like a striker. I mean, that's the kind of quality we've got throughout the team. And it's quite ridiculous. to be honest.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And it is. It's terrifying. It's frightening the way Celtic are playing. We know Aberdeen on the weekend was a much trickier, harder-fought contest. Mm-hmm. But the way that Celtic are playing at the minute, John, why is it? Because they were a good side before the winter break. I'm not saying that the winter break has made them turn into this monster of a team, but they've just found something where no one can get near them at the minute. What is it for you, and what are other fans maybe pointing to as the reason, maybe the special ingredient that Celtic have found?
Well, I mean, a lot of the praise for Celtic recently has been down to the change of formation that Neil Lennon has instituted, with two strikers playing predominantly. And I think that's given the team a bit of freshness and a bit of a new look. And, you know, you've played for so long in kind of the same way that you begin to wonder whether opposition teams have kind of figured out how to play against us. And, you know, for a period in the closing stages of last year, that certainly felt the case, even though we were winning the vast majority of our matches. But now it just seems like we can hit teams on the break, we can be flexible, we can bring players off the bench in different roles. And I think Lennon just has a flexibility now where you can kind of use the full depth of the squad, whereas before it was kind of like he had to fit the team into the system, and now he's got a system that you can kind of tinker with and make work for the team. And I think that's been a big thing. But as I've mentioned a lot on this show, it's just the Celtic's sheer winning mentality. I think they just knew that coming out of the winter break, they needed to pick up all these wins, and they just did it. And, you know, led by Scott Brown and others, other leaders in the dressing room, I think once they've got the bit between their teeth and, you know, suffered that defeat at Celtic Park, I think they were always going to be extra motivated to really push on and show everyone why they're still the best team in Scotland.
Yeah, it's so interesting. For me, the biggest factor is that everyone is chipping in with the goals, John, and I know we spoke about this last week and the last few weeks, but we could, me and you have said, we could do the Edouard fan show, you know, he's been absolutely awesome, but everyone's chipping in with the goals. McGregor, Forrest, you know, everyone seems to be scoring, and I watch the games and I'm looking at the score sheet and I go, oh, they've scored now 3 and 4, and Edouard's not even got on a score sheet, but it don't matter, because I think in that time, John, Celtic in this 18 out of 19 games have scored something like 55 goals. That is incredible.
Yeah, and I think I've got a stat for you here, Charlie. I think there's been 10 different goal scorers in the last 4 games.
Oh,
and
I love that's it. Right, I can't believe that one slipped me by, John.
And then, you know, that's strikers, that's midfielders, that's defenders. You know, that's right through the spine of the team. Big players popping up in big moments to really put teams to the sword. And that's what we've got. The Rangers don't have. They don't have that. And I think you need that in a title race. And I just think we've got so much that, you know, I think it's just the depth thing again, and just this change of formation. Like I say, he's able to tinker, able to bring in different players, able to motivate players in different ways by sitting them out one match, bringing them in another match. It's just all adding up into, you know, a machine-like forward momentum, and you know, it's all down to Lennon, it really is.
Yeah, and you mentioned 10 different scorers. Well, it is a 10-point gap as well for Celtic now in that Scottish Premiership race. We were sort of getting excited when it was, you know, a few points, you know, Rangers had that little wobble. It was 13 points at one stage on the weekend. It is 10. I know you won't allow yourself to be excited, John, but this is quite now, I don't want to say it's a hefty gap, but it's quite substantial.
It's substantial. You know, the big question has been this week, you know, is the title race over? And, you know, I mean, I think a lot of fans are kind of leaning towards that. It's more likely than not that we're going to win the league now. I think there's just the fact that we're running out of games to be caught, really. I know we've still got two derbies left, but, you know, last season at this time, we won at Rugby Park, and I think we went 8 points clear, and a lot of Celtic fans started singing, you know, Scott Brown won the league at Rugby Park, and there was a real confidence that we'd actually sealed it, even though we've got a bigger points difference this time around. I think there's just a sense that fans feel it's a little bit closer and we've still got a little bit of way to go. I think we'll know a lot more after our upcoming derby. And I think, you know, we just need to get through this run of European games that come alongside the domestic games. We need to handle that in the correct manner. So there's a little bit way to go for me. We've certainly not won the league yet, and Lennon will be drilling that into his team as much as anyone.
Yeah, and obviously the Europa League back this week, we're going to be covering that in the second half. But obviously Rangers have looked a little bit sticky, rusty, it's fair to say, from that winter break, whereas Celtic, you know, they have found something. Why have Celtic maybe found something where Rangers haven't? Is it the squad depth? What is it? Because this seemingly happens for Rangers at this point over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I don't think they have the squad depth, and I think they know that. And I think, you know, just the sheer volume of players they've signed over the last couple of years, they've never really had stability. And, you know, even players they've signed, you know, like Ryan Kent, they spent £6 or £7 million on him. He's not really turned up this season. I don't think he has a single assist in the league, which is not good enough for a winger. And so I just think, you know, some of their players not turning up, coupled with the fact that they don't really have real quality to bring into the team. Whereas, just like I mentioned, you had Christy Rogic and El Yunusi on the bench. You know, that's £20 million, £30 million worth of players sitting on the bench for us. So, I mean, that is the difference for me, I think. I think we just have so many options, so much quality, that we're going to find a way to win in the vast majority of our games, you know, regardless of who we're playing.
Yeah, well, you didn't have it all your own way in the Aberdeen game. Obviously, windy conditions, Aberdeen levelled, you know, they had the start of the play. It was Celtic that took the lead, maybe against the run of play. It was really windy, blustery conditions. Mm-hmm. Aberdeen were obviously feel like maybe they were worthy of a point, mm-hmm. but it was another game where Celtic maybe showed a different character, a different side to them, because this game is what champions are about. When you're up against a good team, you're up against the conditions, and yet you still come away with the points, John.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, it was Christopher Ayer who popped up with a big moment, and, you know, he'd started the game as a centre-half, and then he was moved into, you know, the right side of a back four. He's kind of played that role on occasion for us before, but, you know, he made a long bursting run from his own box to the opposition box that Derek McInnes said, you know, only took 10 seconds. Derek McInnes said he was like a racehorse galloping down the right wing, and as soon as he knew he'd gone past, I think it was Considine he went past, he knew it was going to be a goal because he just had so much effort. But he had to show real quality in the box to smash it past the keeper. I think most strikers would have been proud of his strike, so for it to come from someone who, you know, is essentially a centre-half was magic to see. And like I say, you know, we can really hit teams on the counter at the moment. We're not just a team that can dominate possession and kind of grind down the opposition. We're actually a team who can dynamically just take teams apart when they are trying to pressure us. And I think, you know, that is so important to be flexible and dynamic with your play like that. You can't be a one-note team when you're chasing trophies. And I think we showed that again on Sunday.
Yeah, and John, I'm watching the game, obviously, on the weekend. And honestly, mm-hmm. I had to rewind it about five times because I thought I heard the commentator say, Celtic have a brilliant record at Aberdeen. It's one clean sheet in 45 games for Aberdeen against Celtic. And I thought, I can't have heard that right, surely not.
Yeah, I mean, Aberdeen are not a team who have really given us too much problems, especially in the last couple of seasons. I think we kind of relish the fact that we're going into Petardie.
You've not dropped points there since 2016. I mean, you've got all the wins. But clean sheets in 45 games, John.
I know. It's unbelievable. I think the games against Aberdeen are often seen as bigger occasions. And, you know, as I've tried to, you know, highlight in this programme before, when Celtic feel like it's a big game and it's a must-win game, that's when we're more likely to play well or at least win. When we're playing a so-called lesser team like the Livingston, you know, late last year where we lost that game, where we kind of let our guard down a bit, that's the most dangerous games for us. Complacency is our biggest danger. It's not actually the opposition. And so when we go to Aberdeen, who are seen as one of the bigger teams in the country, I think we try to raise our game a bit. And, you know, that's why we've found so much success there. Draw with a big, you know, vociferous support travelling with us to the northeast, and it's just, so it's usually live on television. So I think all those things add up for this Celtic team to really shine.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are shining, and they've got another chance to shine this time on the European stage. Me and John are going to be talking all about the return of the Europa League and maybe looking about and talking about Brendan Rodgers coming back to annoy his former club by trying to poach a couple of the youngsters.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joined with my co-host, John McGinley from the Grand Old Podcast. Make sure you're checking them out for all your extra Celtic content. And if you're listening tonight live, then tweet the studio, ask John a question. What are you making of Celtic's blistering form and run at the minute in the Scottish Premiership? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, John, it is finally the return of the Europa League this week. I am literally beside myself, not only for it to continue where I've said all along that I truly believe Celtic can go deep in the competition on this form, Who will argue with me? No one. But before we get into that, there's been a little bit of news this week that Brendan Rodgers may be coming back to haunt his old club by trying to poach one or two of the youngsters. And I know the Celtic hierarchy in the front office aren't too pleased about this, John.
Yeah, there was a report, I think it was today, and one of our younger players, Litsoza, I think, who's part of our, you know, younger teams. He's not even a firm fixture in our reserves, I believe. But I think, you know, there was chat that Leicester were keen on signing him, you know, perhaps based on, you know, Brendan Rodgers' knowledge of the youth teams at Celtic and such. Mm. But, you know, it's one of those ones where you don't want Brendan Rodgers to come back and poach the talent. We don't want to see our very young players leave for, you know, bigger leagues or clubs in bigger leagues before they've really signed a professional contract to us, which I believe is the situation here. I think we lost a young player called Liam Morrison to Bayern Munich last summer, and I think, you know, that didn't particularly go down well at the club either. But, you know, the onus is on the club to look after these talents and make sure they're well rewarded and that there's a clear pathway for them to get into the first team. I think if they see that that might not happen, then they might feel that they're better off spending time in England or Germany. You know, if they're not going to be, if they don't feel like they're, you know, have that pathway, then, you know, fair play to them. But obviously, I don't want to see Leicester signing any Celtic players. So, hands off from my perspective. Not much is known about him, though. You know, he's not one of these talents that are bursting through, you know, in our reserves, in our, you know, kind of more senior development squads. He's very much a younger player, but he is a Scotland Youth International, so we want to kind of protect those talents and make sure there is room for them at Celtic to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. No one wants Rodgers to come back and raid his former club. Well, John, it is the Europa League this week. FC Copenhagen, they have lost, actually, their last two games. You're away first, but obviously on their form, I know it's different, it's in Europe, but what are you making of the contest? And are you pleased, obviously, that it is the away leg first?
Yeah, I think that is a benefit. And, you know, the fact that we've got that is because we're seeds. So, you know, UEFA see it as a benefit too. So we need to take advantage of that. I think if we can come away with a positive result in any sense, you know, a score draw or something, that would be ideal for us. I think it's a very winnable tie for us. And Copenhagen have only played one competitive match since December. They had a kind of extended winter break as they do in Scandinavia. You know, Christopher Ayer kind of talked up, you know, the fact from his time in Norway, he kind of knows the training that these teams go through. So he says they'll be fitter than ever. But I've got a feeling we can kind of catch them cold a little bit. And there was news breaking today, actually, that they're actually in the process of selling their top scorer this season, Charlie, to Astana in Kazakhstan. Their transfer window's still open. And the report is that they've accepted a bid and he's left their training base today. So he's called Piero Sotiriou. So I think he's a Cypriot international. He scored 13 goals this season. He's the only player in their entire squad that's reached double figures for the season. They've got a real problem scoring goals. And I think with the quality that Celtic have got in attack, I think we can really, you know, I'm pretty confident we can actually win on Thursday. I would take a score draw. But I think over the two legs, we're going to have more than enough quality. Famous last words and all that. But, you know, this is the most confident I've been going into, you know, a Celtic European away game or a Celtic knockout tie, you know, for a long, long time. We've not won a knockout tie after the group stage since 2003-04 season. So this is a big one for us, Charlie. Getting into the last 16 of the competition is huge for Celtic, for the support, for, you know, just our prestige in Europe. So we really need to focus and make these games our priority over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, oh, that bodes really well. They, you know, they lost their last game. They haven't really played much games. They've been on a winter break. You want to catch them cold. They're selling their top striker. I mean, this seems like it's all falling into place for Celtic.
Yeah.
One thing that will factor into the tie, obviously, John, the Europa League will now start using VAR, so it will be in use. Yeah. What are you making of its introduction? And I know, obviously, Celtic right-back Frimpong believes that VAR actually ruins the game, and he's not a fan of how the technology is used.
No, I believe, yeah, that is the case. And, you know, Celtic will be a bit wary of it. Very interesting to see how it'll work, you know, with Celtic. I think we actually used it in a pre-season friendly last summer away from home in Austria. And I think we got a red card as a result of that. So I hope that's not the case this time. But I think the perception is that it works a little bit better in Europe than it has been in the Premier League. I think it's a little bit more efficient, and everyone kind of seems to understand what's going on. You know, no doubt there'll be a howler now, but I think with the way it's come into the Premier League this season and the reaction that it's got, and I think that's obviously, you know, changed people's perception of it in Scotland and England. So it'll be very, very interesting. I hope it passes off without incident. But essentially, I actually don't have much of a problem with VAR if it's used, you know, with common sense, but it appears in the Premier League this season it hasn't been. So hopefully in Europe they've got their act together a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And John, look, I have to ask the question because we're talking about Celtic treble, obviously winners. Now we're talking about the Europa League. They're on blistering form. We're talking about maybe FC Copenhagen that obviously it doesn't look like they're in the greatest set of spirits at the minute. You know what's coming, John. Don't worry about the treble. Are we talking a quadruple here? I thrown it out there. I'm getting excited.
I know. I've been playing down our Europa League chances all season because I know what Celtic are like away from home in a European match. And I know that we beat Lazio this year and, you know, we played pretty well in Rennes, but something about it, Celtic can still put in a horrible performance. So until I see Celtic comfortably win this tie, you know, if Celtic comfortable win this tie, I'll start feeling a lot better about our chances in the knockouts, because I think at Celtic Park we've shown we can beat almost anyone in Europe this season, because Lazio are one of the best teams in Serie A right now, and we beat them in
I think they're unbeaten in 21 games, are they?
Yeah. I mean, we're one of the few teams that have beat them this season, so that says a lot about us. And I know we scored late winners in those matches, but Celtic have that quality. They've got that winning mentality. They've got that edge in the last 15 minutes of matches that perhaps teams around Europe don't have. Celtic are a very prestigious and, you know, historic club who pride themselves on picking up big results in Europe, and I think we can feed off that sometimes. So if we get past Copenhagen, I'm not going to fear anyone in the next round, let's put it that way. But let's get past Copenhagen first.
Let's get past Copenhagen first. I'm already excited, John. What is your prediction?
I think we'll win 1-0 over there. I think we're going to... I can't see them...
That is a massive scoreline. They don't get on the score sheet. You get the away goal.
Yeah.
You've got the one goal advantage. I mean, and anyone, you say you don't fear anyone. I certainly don't fear Celtic playing anyone when they bring them back to Celtic Park.
Yeah, I think just with their lack of goal-scoring habit right now, you know, they're really struggling to score goals. The fact that they're still in their top goal scorer who played every single minute in the group stage, you know, that doesn't bode well for me. And I just think Celtic have a real quality that can punish anyone in Europa League, really. You know, Edouard is a phenomenal striker who could be playing in the Premier League right now. So we've got the quality. And I think just having that edge, we'll see us score a goal. And I think we could have the strength to keep a clean sheet. And that's a big prediction for me, because the fact that Celtic are going away in Europe and I'm saying we're going to win 1-0 away from home in Europe is a big thing for me. So that's me being, you know, uber confident. But I hope that the team can see the job through.
Yeah, absolutely. Then it's Kilmarnock on the weekend. What are you making of that one quickly, John?
Difficult coming off the European games. Mm. Difficult always going to Rugby Park. They always show up against Celtic and Rangers, and they're going to give us a stiff physical test. And I think, again, we're just going to have too much quality. And the depth that we've got in the squad, we can rotate players into the team that don't play on Thursday. So I think we're going to win that one comfortably. I would say 2-0. Something of that ilk. I think it'll be another professional performance, and we'll be on our way to welcome Copenhagen at Celtic Park next Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. But it will be tricky, like you said, going back from that Thursday, Sunday football, getting the air miles in as well. But they're on a tear at the minute, John. I'm excited to see what lies in store next. John McGinley there joining me for the Celtic Fan Show, as you can join us every week. Just call us 0208 7020 558 treble one, quadruple one. Have your say and check out John McGinley in the Grand Old Podcast, as this has been the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Sure, it's a grand old team to play for. Sure, it's a grand old team, be dad. When you read its history, it's enough to make your heart grow sad. God bless them, we don't care if we win, lose, or draw. Love Sport.